made a couple of great plays in left field, and he may have just added his second home run of the game. Say goodbye to this one.
Reardon delivers.
There's a fly ball, deep left center field, right looking up. He did it! He did it!
And that's sliced to left field, and it's another chance for Mitchell, and he makes a fair-handed catch!
In my entire life, I've never seen that happen.
Fernandez, left field, it's deep! It is good!
And welcome to the ball game. It's semi-final time. Jack's come into the studio. He's got a smile on his face. Rob's over there, cheerful, happy as they are.
Oh, as always.
Played another game of baseball without getting thrown out of the game on the weekend, but only just. Well done to you, Rob. And Phil Bertram here, ready for a big weekend of baseball as well.
Looking forward to it. Something about finals. The atmosphere, it's just a little bit different, isn't it? The
sun's been popping out too at the right time.
Yeah, it has.
Just adds that little spring to your step and just sort of makes you walk a little bit faster.
Yeah. Although, mind you, I think some of the fields in our league, we need a lot more sun and a lot more wind because they are fairly damp.
Sunny and 14 is what they're predicting. Beautiful day.
Perfect day for winter baseball.
Very exciting. And look, where are we going to start? We're going to hang fire a bit on the major league. We're going to talk up the first game first, and it's Dingley playing Mornington, and we've got Jay Willis on the line. How are you going, Jay?
Yeah, good, gentlemen. How are you going?
Going very well, and we're all a bit excited about finals, but you must love finals time yourself.
Yeah, no, it's as I said, you do get a spring in your step come finals time, you know, some of the, and it's a true reflection, some of the good players come to the fore around this time of year,
really excited. Now, last weekend, I guess you'd be a bit disappointed. Jack is smiling, as I said. He's trying to hold the smile back in the studio.
Lies, mate.
9-2 there.
Do you
want to? Is that one just put behind you, or have you got a different side set up? What do you want to say about it all?
Yeah, look, I think both sides probably held back, knowing that we've got finals the next week. But it was quite interesting. I think by memory, I think we both teams won one game throughout the year, drew a game, and I think the runs for and against were exactly the same for both sides. So if you want to look at those stats, it's going to be a very, very close, interesting game.
And you get to play that game at Mornington, 2 o'clock start. You'd be probably pleased to be able to play at home, I'm guessing.
Yeah, look, when we looked at it, you know, yes, we did miss a double chance, but at the same time, we're going to get a home final, and I don't think Mornington have had a A1 home final for a long time, so the club's pretty excited. It's going to be a good day.
You got any changes to your lineup for tomorrow, Jay? You sort of might have tweaked around a little bit last week, but full bore tomorrow, full squad?
Full squad, yeah. So I think we're pretty healthy. We had a bit of a scare with Paul Wignall's ankle last week. Had to stretch him late from the Dingley game. So he's pulled up fine. So
I don't know, Jay. A timely injury for yourself. I saw a great play that was 50-50 call, but it was a hell of a play.
You like them to go your way as a shortstop, mate. just give it out. Let's move on. Give it out. Move on.
The crowd was going wild waiting for that call, but it didn't go your way that time.
A bit too wild to get up. That was my problem.
So who are you liking to be having on the mound? I'll ask the same question in your presence of Jack, so we'll keep it equal. But who are you likely to be using?
Oh, look, we'll use three pitches probably throughout the game, if not four pitches. So, I dare say they'll see everyone that we've got on Saturday. So you've got Rowan Johnson. Josh has been thrown the last couple of weeks and been thrown good. And you got Lefty and Luke Cowler. So you know, the order, which way will go, I'm not sure, but you'll definitely see pretty much everybody on Saturday.
Rowan's had a pretty good year for you, hasn't he? I've seen him a few times and he's seemed to sort of shoulder a pretty big part of the burden.
Yeah, well, he's been dominant. But the thing with Jono is you've just got to be mindful of his body. You know, he's not a guy that you can throw week in, week out. So, you know, he's been known as being a good reliever, but he's been fantastic for us. I think his ERA is in the low twos and been pitching really well at the moment. So, yeah, you just got to be mindful of his body and how it holds up and how many innings and pitches you can get out of him.
Lukey Howe, has he done much on the mound? A couple of games I've seen, he's sort of been about ready to throw, and I've missed him. I was wondering how many he's actually thrown for you.
Yeah, well, he did a bulk of our work through the middle. We lost young Jason Arthur's lefty through the middle of the season, so he shouldered a lot of work through that middle. I think he leads our wins for pitches for our team. So again, I think it's just a bit about managing guys' bodies and some of the veterans trying to get him up to this point, ready to go.
Yeah, Jay Jack, just want to touch on, there was a, historically through this radio show that since I've been a part, we've sort of mentioned Mornington's ability to sort of falter in those crunch games towards the end of the year, and we saw the likes of it with that Boneyo game, but then you sort of bounced back and got the good wins against Berwick and Frankston. What did you sort of attribute that to you coming into this year as coach, knowing that maybe there was a mental lax with those crunch games, and how did you sort of approach that?
Yeah, I think it's just generally, you know, the way I play it is you've got to keep it the same routine. I think, if you know, regardless if it's a big game or it's not a big game, you've got to go with the same routine, the same warm-up techniques, and everything's got to be the same. And that's how you get, you know, consistency through a team. So I think that's what I've probably tried to push on the guys, is that stay consistent. Regardless of who we're playing, you know, stay consistent. So I think, we did have a couple of hiccups with Bonio, but I still felt that we were on the right track.
As you said, Joe, that the two teams pretty evenly matched, a win a piece and a draw. Where do you see this game will be won and lost tomorrow?
I think it's probably Jack thinking as well. I think the team, we both sides want to get out early and get the lead. I think that's our objective, is to try and get the lead early in the game. I think if it's a game where you're trying to catch up, it might be hard. There's the likes of, you know, we're pretty deep in the pitching stocks, and you've got Ervo and, you know, some good kids at Dingley too. So I think the key is to try and get on the board early, and you know, both teams play good defence, so and try and hold on from there.
So the order of day is go shopping early.
Yeah, well, that's it, you know. So I know Dingley and I know Jack, you know, you've got to be on the ball, because, you know, they'll play any type of game, and I think that's the way we all do it.
Now, you get a chance to ask Jack a question back. You can ask him the obvious ones if you like, but you go first, and we'll follow up after that.
Oh, the obvious ones. Who's starting? Who's your starter?
We've got 9 starters.
Here we go.
Don't you love the mind games already, eh?
No, there's no secrets. We've got kids that have gone away, and tomorrow we're going to go with the experienced head and probably give Grant the ball. But then it'll be... It's a really big toss-up, because we've lost Boyd to the World Cup, we've lost Mitch to college, so we've got two good arms in Ervo. We think that we can get the job done, or I can go with a Tim Lane. But his defensive in centre field is key for us, so it'll be, you know, I'll ask them tomorrow morning. At this stage, I want Ervo with the ball, because to me, he showed me a few weeks back with Frankston when I said I want this win, he got the job done, so... He is a big game player, he wants the ball, so it's hard to take the ball out of that hand. As you probably have been experienced that too, Jay, where you're going to have 4 guys in your lineup who are going to go, I want the ball, because as you said, it's a home final. It's big for the club. And if I'm not mistaken, I did read on the Facebook that you guys are live streaming it, so it's going to be big for the Pirate Nation. So you're going to have a big support. So it's going to be who wants the ball, who's going to deliver, and both sides have got big impact players. So, you know, we're not shying away from getting the ball into those type of guys' hands.
How deep do you reckon Irvo can get?
Oh, if we score 10, it could be 7. and like Rowan as well. So, like, we're planning to see Rowan first because we didn't see him last week as we threw Jack Wills last week. So we knew that the result didn't heavily lie on our position because we couldn't gain third and we couldn't drop to fifth. So we tried a few things and we ended up starting with 8-2 because we didn't have a guy turn up, which wasn't handy. But there are some things that things can change inning by inning, pitch by pitch, play by play. Guys can get sore, guys that you didn't think would want the ball or get a hit when you needed to are stepping up in that finals type thing. We talked about springing our step, but stranger things have happened in finals, and I don't know how, that's the honest, I don't know how far he'll go. I'm sure his mind will say he want 9. I'm of the essence that I've got 9, or I've had, I'm missing 5 from my team tomorrow, but I've had 15 guys, 16, 17 guys roll through like every other club that will want the ball, and I'll back them when I put them in certain situations. And like Jay will say, he's got his squad as well that are going to go hell for leather and try and get the win as well. So
is McConkey in the plans?
I don't think so. Not, if I'm honest, not tomorrow. He's not a starting pitcher anymore, and he's really a guy that you can throw if you needed to, probably once through the lineup. So whether that's one inning, whether that's two, whether that's three, not more than that. He threw last week just to get innings in, but at the moment he's been really good at first base and getting hits when we needed to. So he'll likely line up there, and our lineup won't change too much from previous weeks in terms of position guys and getting set. So Jay will know, there's no secrets, and he knows the way I play and the way I coach. So as he said, prepare for anything, and the aim is to put up picket fences on the scoreline, yeah, which is at least one run an inning, and we will play for that.
Jay, back to you. Is your lineup fairly well set, in it?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. You know, positional changes will be probably what they saw last week. And you're right. You know, Jono will probably get the ball to start off, and it'll be a good head-to-head match with Irvo and Jono. Both guys we know can dominate and a real game player.
Jay, I'll just get you to talk about the Dingley hitters. Who are the guys you sort of, keeping an eye on, because you reckon these blokes can hit the ball well? They've batted really well as a team the last few weeks. Any particular guys that you'll be looking out for?
I don't think it's any particular guy. I think it's the kids. I think if the kids are hitting around the veterans like Irvo, Katsu, and the likes of them, it can be difficult. That's when they're more potent offensively. If those kids are getting two, three hits a game and getting on base, and they've got really good speed, and that's the other thing. They've got really good speed on the base pass, and if you can't keep these young kids off, they can score a lot of runs really quickly. So, you do got to be light. I mean, you're light, as you said, Irvo's a big game player. You know, and if he's hitting in the lineup, you know, you've got to be careful of him. So, and Sevic and all those type of guys. So,
yep.
So who's your tip tomorrow, Jay?
Sunshine. That's what we're tipping. We want sunshine.
It's not like today in Detroit Yankees. But, I'm just hoping, we try and jump out early, score some runs. And then, hopefully our pitchers are...
I think Jay sort of just knocked it on the head, and he said, talked about scoring first. I think both these sides out of the four remaining are the two biggest momentum type teams.
Yep. That's a fair call.
Out of the four remaining. Yep. I think Berwick can just sort of score 8 easily without sort of any momentum, just sort of a couple of hits here, a couple of hits there. Dandenong have the power, like the star sort of power. Mm. You think of names like Ratkus and Surtees and Bumstead and all that sort of stuff. They're sort of the star players of the league. But then you've got Mornington and Dingley, where you don't there's sort of an enigma about them where four runs is not insurmountable in an inning, but then you can throw up three or four zeros as well. Yeah. So it'll be really, really interesting. As long as the sun's out, I'll be happy.
Yeah, no, same here. So blue skies will be a good day.
Absolutely.
If you've got nothing to do, come out to sunny Mornington. Yep. It'll be a good day.
Get down to Mornington. Women's game's on at some point.
Sunday.
On
Sunday
the Sunday.
The
C2, also at Mornington.
The C2 have been moved to before the A-grade game.
Which is great. So big weekend. Jay, great for you to join us. Best of luck in the big game. And, we're hoping for sunshine and a top match.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. And I'll see you out there tomorrow, Jack.
Sure will. I'll be there.
Good luck, Jay.
Go on, mate.
All right. Cheers. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
We might just go to a little break now. After break, Dave Clarkson's going to talk about the other game, which will be fantastic. We've also got Matty Goulet later, and then a bit of a surprise on the winter right near the end to wrap up the game. Listening to the ball game. Hope you enjoy it.
Yes, I can. It makes him a bigger man.
I'm Peter the Possum Man.
Keep your household pests at bay. Call Peter the Possum Man today. 9646 422. Do it once, do it right. For professional inspections, advice, treatment and control of all pests, all suburbs with 70 years experience, call 9646 422. A division of Adams Pest Control.
Did you know that the Bendigo Community Bank branches support our local sporting clubs? Our sponsor, the Bendigo Community Bank branches in Rye, Dramana and now in Rosebud, are supporting the local community and putting the people back into banking.
This is Jess from Oasis Pop-Up Bakery and Cafe, proud sponsors of the Wordy Rapping Hood with Tracy Hutchison on our favourite local station, RPPFM. At Oasis Pop-Up, we're turning on the best Middle Eastern food, great music and our trademark friendly hospitality at 988 Nepean Highway in Mornington. Pop into Oasis Pop-Up for breakfast, lunch or a coffee. Open 7 days and enjoy the show.
And welcome back to the ball game. We are going to talk about the other huge game, one playing two, Berwick playing Dandenong, Sunday, 2 o'clock at Dandenong. Dave Clarkson on the line. Good evening, good morning. How's it all going, Dave? Already excited?
Oh, I haven't even thought about it really at the moment. it is still another 24. I've got another day to go before Sunday comes. So, but. Yeah, we trained last night, and the boys were pretty excited, actually. There was a good vibe going around, so if that's any guide, then hopefully Barry will be in trouble.
All right, and look, last time we talked to you after that Sunday game, you talked about trying to keep everybody fresh coming into the finals. Have you managed to do that in the last week or two? Save some of your arms a bit?
Yeah, well, I haven't abused them, put it that way. You know, like Mark Surtees has I guess the last couple of weeks has only sort of thrown his 70 to 80, and then I've had young Richo in the middle, and he's thrown his 20 or 30, and then Chico at the end, and he's thrown 1-2 innings, so, hopefully they're fresh enough and ready to go for Sunday.
So you got a full squad to go?
We do miss. Aidan Willis has gone on a holiday, so he's our centre fielder, but we can cover that. He's a very good reader of the ball at centre field, live bat, but I'll make a few adjustments, and his outfield work will be sorely missed, but I can cover his bat, so...
Can you cover his wheels, though? Can you cover his wheels, Dave? He's a great little player. I've had the pleasure of coaching him with the Mariners, but as you say, he's a good defensively. He's got a live arm and a live bat, but those wheels at the top of that order.
Oh, yeah. He's a quality player and person. So I think we can. I mean, I think we've got a team hitting average of about 350. So we do hit deep on our day. We're hard to stop. But I'm a true believer that good see what Berry throw at us, and we'll go from there.
Dave, you mentioned your three pitches. Is that the order you're planning to go in on Sunday?
Yeah. It's no secret that Serta will start. I've tried to get by with two pitches, and I definitely need that guy in the middle just to throw one or two so I can get to Chico at the end.
Yeah, well, Chico's been your sort of real closer, hasn't he? He sort of comes in and sort of does the job for you.
He's a new man. Since his shoulder operation, his reconstruction of the shoulder. So he's throwing the ball hard. I had him down at Boneo on the gun at 90 mile an hour. Because, I mean, that's good velocity.
That might have been the wind picked up at Boneo, the jet stream out there on the field.
Actually, I've got to say, I was blowing in this day. I was blowing out that day. So I was throwing into it. Look, Chico's matured, both as a person and as a pitcher. So he's getting his work in. He gets down there now. He's not working for Jet Couriers anymore, so he's now doing an apprenticeship and can get down there early, and he gets his work in real quick and then helps out everybody else at the club. So, yeah, really good.
Now, I noticed a couple of weeks ago you played Berwick. It was a pretty close tussle, 5-4. What did you think of the Berwick side that day?
They have improved big time from the start of the year. Even when we played in the first game, I thought these guys have got something. You could see it. They beat us the second time out of the swamp. It was a shocking day. It was wet. I don't think we wanted to be there. And, they jumped us. If we can stop them from putting up crooked numbers, then we will be on our way to winning that game. They can score and score, three, four runs very quickly. So we've got to try and stop that.
You mentioned they score quickly. It's almost, from watching them a couple of times this year myself, it's almost, you almost blink twice and they've put five on the board. It's not rah-rah, it's not any, it's just, they've just gone about it, two bleeders and a double or something, and you're looking at the score and you go, how am I going to catch up five? It's really weird.
Well, that's what happened against the last time we won 5-4. They put up three, bang. A couple of little errors by us, and that blue single got in there and then got the ball rolling, and all of a sudden, bang, bang, it picked up as it hit three. But we were able to pick that up. The last time we played them, but finals were a different game. So they've got some good arms. They didn't have JJ the last time, so he's a plus for them. But I still think our hitting is definitely one of the best in the competition. So
you don't sit atop of the ladder, and you don't earn the right to have that first final if you're not doing something right across the board rather than covering one or two players. So,
and particularly finishing, having five more wins than the side you're playing, I think that's a significant statistic.
Yeah, I mean, we're all even now. We're not five games better than they are. Yes, we get a home ground advantage, and that's the only advantage we've got. It's a two-horse race, and let's see who wins the race at the end of Sunday. That's the way I go. I've told our boys that they've got to be prepared to go to battle and make sure you can look your fellow player in the eye after the game and say that I've given them all.
How much does the Sunday affect your planning as such? The extra day rest in between last game of the year, or does it matter from a coaching side of it, or?
It doesn't. Jack, that most of your guys play Sunday in the summer anyway. So Saturday or Sunday, they should be big enough to accept it, and that's the way it is. I've told them as soon as we set up first place, I said we're going to be playing Sunday's finals from here on in. So get your head around it. I know Father's Day next week is a pain in the ass for all us baseballers. But, on the way, if you want to be successful, you've got to make sacrifices. And, I've said to our boys, we've got to sacrifice. That means getting off the piss on... Sorry, I shouldn't be saying this. Getting off the alcohol...
Good advice, David.
On Saturday night. And
drink responsibly.
Yep.
Yeah. Sacrifice.
And, of course, you can always invite all the fathers to come along and watch the game. They probably enjoy the Sunday afternoon at the baseball.
We'll be at Dandenong, and they do make a beautiful roast beef roll. So come Perfect. Along and enjoy that.
Perfect.
You got any targets picked out, Dave?
Targets as in what?
As in, sort of plans to try and sort of curb some of their hitting, you know, like Blake Cunningham and JJ, you know, sort of how to work them out and how not to let them sort of get the free hands?
Well, my rule of thumb is you don't let the best hitter beat you. If there's an open base or something, you don't pitch to the guy and you'll take the next guy on. And that's where protection in the batting order is vital. So, look, JJ has hurt us. He hit a two-run bomb against us up at the Swamp, and that sort of got him going. And from there, they scored runs. So, as I said, JJ is probably the number one guy. Young Wolf at third base seems to get on a fair bit. Has hurt us as well, and young Owen Hamm can sing the ball.
Yeah, yeah, on a good day, he really goes well. Yeah.
Yeah, he can. And I love the way he plays shortstop. Great hands. And seems to enjoy himself out there.
Who are the guys you're expecting to hit the ball well? I mean, Paul Rutger's name always comes up, very reliable, but there's plenty of others there too.
Yeah, you've got going through the order, Nick O'Shea's a sneaky hitter. Then you've got, Kane Bumstead, got a live bat. Through to Paulie Rutgers, Mr. Consistent, hasn't been hitting the ball that well the latter part of the year, but good players stand up in finals. Nick Thompson just squares the ball up. Caleb Poole does the same thing. Young Joshy Meyer, the 17-year-old shortstop, has had a great year. You know, him too, Jack. Great player then.
I think he's got a big future too, Josh Meyer.
Yeah, mate, one thing I see with Joshy is that he takes the ball the other way, and you can't teach that. And he's got some power to the pull side as well. But I love the way he takes the ball the other way. And,
Doesn't shy away from the contest either.
No, he's a good kid. They're all good kids. And one, Kieran Palmer has just been, I think he's hit over 500 for me. I think the last time I looked at the stats was about a couple of weeks ago, he was hitting 540. Now, I've had him in the number 9 hole. I've been hiding him there, so...
Trust me, he's not hidden.
He's not hidden. He's a lot more fastballs in the 9 hole. So.
But he's not hidden. He's a big boy, and he can definitely catch the ball as well.
He's had a great year.
Yeah. Dave, it's been fantastic chatting with you. Best of luck on Sunday for the big game, and we hope there's plenty of people around on the... Father's Day as well, as you mentioned, although maybe you won't, you might, who knows, you mightn't be there. It's all up to you, isn't it?
I'll be there somehow, because it is at the Dandenong Baseball Club.
They're hosting prelims, so
you'll
be there
on Sunday, I'll be helping out somewhere around the ground.
Fantastic, Dave, been a pleasure to chat, and have a good weekend.
Thanks, fellas, appreciate it, and all the best to Jack too on Saturday.
You do. Yeah,
good luck to you.
All the best, Clarko. Cheers.
Cheers, mate. See you, buddy. Bye.
Look, just a minute or two before we have the break.
No. The cliches come out in final time.
Yeah, but he's got a team there too. So just a minute or two from the panel before we go to the next break. Your thoughts, Rob, first.
Morning and Dingley. It's going to be an interesting one. I'm not too sure how Jack's going to cover. He can cover one or two. Five might be a bit of a struggle. A lot's going to rely on Urbo getting a good start and keeping him quiet.
Yeah, he's the key, in my view.
Then again, you got the young kids that you bring up. They're just go-getters. They sort of play with no fear. And that's a good thing, especially when you get the finals, because there's no point worrying about what's going to happen about tomorrow. Just do what you're going to do today. Mornington, they've got some seasoned campaigners in there, and they should be able to... grasp the occasion too. So it's going to be a really tight game.
And it's good to see Josh Malheron's available to throw, because he was looking after it a bit. But
I really don't know whether he's going to be brought on tomorrow. But they've got three.
Depends how deep Rowan gets.
They've got three other good chokes. Lukey Howell's been throwing really, really well.
Yep.
I think a lot's going to rely on how Urbo gets through the first three innings, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think if he can get through the first three and get to the fifth and with minimal damage, Dingley's a really good chance to get through. Mornington, I don't know. There's going to be no more than one or two runs in the whole game. Look, you can really toss a coin on this one, and I'm going to sit on the fence, to be honest. Whoever wins going to do very well.
Your thoughts?
Boof's summed it up pretty well. This is going to be extremely close game. Obviously, a lot depends on how Jack's youngsters step up in replacing the players that have been there for, and also how deep Urvo can get. We know that he's a gamer, absolute gamer, and good luck getting the ball off him when you do decide to make a change. I got a worry with Jay's strategy. Luke Howell's their ace.
You reckon go with him?
I think you can get seduced in finals with saying, "Oh, I'll wheel this bloke out and I'll try and get two or three out of him," and then I'll put. Nah, you give your ace the ball and you let him go as deep as he possibly can, and then you put the next bloke in, and then you put the next bloke in.
I think that's
that bothers me with his strategy. Okay. And I think if he goes down that track, I reckon Dingley will win.
Okay. I think it's, once again, you hit it in a nutshell. Why waste your ace coming in second when you can start him? And he's the man that's sort of given. He's thrown up more zeros down there than anybody else. So he'd be the one I'd be going with and say, I can go for as long as you can.
I can see Jay's theory is that, or the way I would see it with Rowan throwing is he's got velocity. Now, he's pegged us as a momentum side that scores early and scores hard. So he's trying to nullify that before giving it to Luke. That's the only thing I can see that, because Rowan does have velocity over all those other three guard arms that they have. So I can think that that's the way he's going to go. If he can get... So to reiterate, there's two things I can see this game. Which side is the occasion going to get to, and which side's going to score first? Yep. If two of those... If they're mirrored or if they're the same, then that's the team
that determines it. Yeah,
that's the two keys that I'm seeing. Yeah. So
good point. Look, we better go for a break.
And Dandy in the other game for me.
And Dandy, I think Dandy too.
Yeah, I think
it's hard to go against him.
I think Dandy by about 4 or 5, to be honest.
9-4, 9-5, something like that.
Somewhere around there.
Okay, we're going to have a break, and after that, we're going to talk to Matty Gourlay. I'm Peter the
Possum Man. Maybe the noise in your roof is not a possum. It could be
you dirty rotten rat.
Call Peter the Possum Man today, and that rat could be gone tomorrow. 9646 4222. For all pests, all suburbs. With over 70 years' experience, call Peter the Possum Man. 9646 4222. A division of Adams Pest Control.
Mercedes-Benz fans would like to congratulate Chris Thode and the entire team at Mercedes-Benz Mornington on being awarded the 2016 Rural Dealer of the Year. Mercedes-Benz Mornington, Rural Dealer of the Year. 29 Mornington Tyre Road, Mornington. Station sponsor.
Hi, it's Warwick Merry from Taking Care of Business. Sign Matters tells the world about you and your business, who you are and where you are. Sign Matters have 20 years experience in the industry, offering complete end-to-end service for all types of businesses and signs, from design to installation, specializing in illuminated and 3D signs, vehicle wraps, custom signage, even your stationery. Signmatters.com.au. Station sponsor.
Welcome back to the ball game. We're going to look at winter ball now, Phil. It'll be pretty exciting. And we've got Matt Gourlay on the line. I'll say hello to Matt, and then I know you've got a few questions lined up there. Good day to you, Matty. How are you going?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure, mate. Always a pleasure.
Yeah.
What's the first question? What's the field like?
She's damp, that's for sure.
It can't be any damper than Forest Hill, mate. I'll give you the drum. Billabong is actually a swamp. So... We'd have had no hope of playing there tomorrow, for sure.
Yeah, like Thursday night, it was better than what it was on the weekend, and we've had some good weather today. Said to be good tomorrow, so
yes.
You've got some umpires that want to see a game played, and we, obviously all the players want to play, so.
That's a key thing, mate, isn't it, that all the coaches and all the players want to get on the field, because, we've played all season to get to this stage. The last thing we want is to not play. So looking at the obviously the game tomorrow, we've Forest Hill have had the better of you in both occasions this year. Where do you see that you need to make an adjustment to change that?
I think we definitely made an adjustment offensively the second time we faced Bryce. He's been fantastic. I think he'll win the league MVP hands down. His pitching has been awesome, and you know Forest Hill as a club has under Adam Blackley have been outstanding the last 2 years. So the second time we didn't play bad, but we didn't do anything outstanding. So the last couple of weeks we've played much better baseball, and I'm looking forward to I think an evenly matched. I think the best two teams are playing off tomorrow for a spot in the grand final.
Yeah, I agree with that, yep.
Yeah, Matty, it's Rob Bowen here. You've basically been running with two pitchers all year with, was it Sam Gibbons and Matty Wilson? Is there any change to different or any further backup to help them out?
Personally, I think if you need more than that, something's gone wrong. But in saying that, we've got some part-timers that have done the job for us. Daniel Mack, on the weekend, we had 42 years old come in and snagged the win for us when Cooper Goodman got the walk-off hit. So, but personally, I'm very confident going in with Sam Gibbons and Matty Wilson. They've done the job for us all year. You know, Sammy's a proven performer, and Matty Wilson's been outstanding for us. He's been a part of all our premierships. So, whether he's hitting or pitching, so yeah, very confident.
If you go back a few rounds, Matt, you had a bit of a flat spot there. I think it was maybe three losses in a row. What do you put it down to now that you sort of look back? I know you put it behind you, but what do you put it down to happening in those few weeks?
Yeah, I don't think we played bad those weeks. I think we just didn't do anything outstanding. We played against good quality teams, and as a spectator, you'd be rapt to go and watch those games, but we just didn't do anything, didn't have that big hit or anything like that. We didn't make errors, we didn't pitch bad. It was just a good quality game, and we, 3 weeks in a row, we just came second. But, we've played very well the last 2 weeks, and, we'll see how we go on the weekend.
Pretty much the last 5 or 6 years, Matty, you've been the hunted side. Does that sit well with you blokes?
Oh, 100%. I think with our team, we don't take anything for granted, and every year we haven't had the same team. So we don't sit back and go, we've done this, we've done that. It's every year, every week we want to prove ourselves that we're, how good a baseballers we are. So there's no egos, we'll police ourselves, teammates do, and it's an honour to coach these guys. I love it every week.
I think that's a really balanced adjustment or assessment of your team, Matt, that you've got high quality players that have just continued to deliver year in, year out. And yeah, you have days where you don't play bad, but the opposition just plays a little bit better. But you have had the happy knack of being able to produce that really good form when it's counted. And no secret why you've was it four of the last five that you've been able to snag. So very definitely the favourites tomorrow. Even though you're 0-2. To Forest Hill this year, I think you justifiably go into tomorrow's game favourite.
Yeah, we're good. It doesn't bother us either way. I think we're it's good to be favourites, and we think of ourselves as favourites, but we're going in, thinking we're 0-2 against Forest Hill, and the league this year I think has been fantastic. I think the up until 2 weeks out from the finals, there were seven teams playing off for those four spots. So,
good point.
Baseball's going good in the winter and in the Melbourne Winter League, that's for sure.
Are there any players in your lineup who you'd say might be the big occasion players? We're talking about that in the first half of the show when we were talking about the Dandenong Association.
About 11 of them.
But you got any blokes who you'd sort of say, no, these guys like to step up in a big occasion. You got a couple?
We've got guys that have played in all the premierships, and we've got guys that are, a Sammy Gibbons who, was it 12 months ago, he's playing professional baseball for the Minnesota Twins organization. So I wouldn't put it past any of my starting nine guys. I wouldn't put it past any of my three or four guys you'd use off the bench to do something spectacular. Like, it's where we win as a team, we lose as a team, but we have a good time and fun together, but we're there to win. So it's going to be exciting.
You picked up Benny Leslie this year. I take it he's complimented what you already had?
Yeah, so we had him last year as well, and he's had a good season, but like, he's hit his form of late. Like, he got, I think, 5 hits against Essendon a couple of weeks ago, then hit one of the biggest home runs I've ever seen on the weekend to tie it up in the second last inning. So, you know, he's coming into form, which, you know, yeah, you've got him with Ayrsie and Dinger. It's a pretty potent lineup.
It is indeed.
Absolutely. Matty, it's great to see you having a chat to us again. We wish you all the best. Should be a pretty exciting game, and a 1:30 start, that'll be a big difference.
Yeah, well, we've got to get nine innings in. That's the thing. Yeah. Well, what's your thoughts on that, Matt? We play, and I know that it's sort of been thrown around the league a little bit, we play two-hour games throughout the season, and then we come to finals and we play nine innings. What's your view on that?
You know, like, you know it from the start of the season. So Ricey and Adair aren't throwing that in, you know, 2 weeks out from the finals. So the first year that I came across the Heathmont, we were the best team. We finished on top. It was amazing, like, our team. But unfortunately, we only had John Kennedy, and then we had some part-timers. And we got knocked out in straight sets. And we learned from that. And then from then, we've always had two full-time pitchers, you know, that's their specialty, and then you've got a couple of part-timers to add on to that. And, you know, from there, like, you know, from that learning experience from week, you know, year one, we've managed to have some success.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, good point. Thanks, mate. Do appreciate you having a chat with us, Matty.
No, my pleasure. Thank you very much, guys.
Cheers.
Thanks, Matty.
Cheers, Matt.
Right, what we might do, we've got about 4 or 5 minutes.
It's nice to have some specialist pitching that you can just call upon. Yeah. Four on the bench.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Bring a guy back from the Twins. Sammy, just come and throw for us.
Yeah, Frank's going to love that.
So,
having one bloke and all of a sudden, we've got more part-timers than you can find down at the government house.
They're a terrific side. I mean, they've got a great game. They hit 1-9, and a lot of it is power.
Well, I think any side that can try it out in order, you know, Dingle, Ayres, Leslie.
Well, you've got Josh Hendricks, Chris Nicholas, Ross Hunter.
Yeah.
Young Cooper Goodman playing shortstop, Dylan Trevorrow at second base. They're a good side. They're a really, really good side.
If you're allowed to bat 12 in your league, you'd never get them out. They tire themselves out running around the bases.
Right. So
now your side, Phil. Now, we spoke about it.
Yeah.
What's happening down at Forest Hills? You know, the boys would be pretty cock-a-hoop with what they've done so far.
Oh, look, we're...
Have the doors had to be opened a little bit for some of the heads to get through? Or is everything pretty level-headed?
Not at all.
The doors were big enough already.
Look, we're immensely proud of the season that we've had. I mean, this is in the 28-year history of the club. This is our first A-grade final. And our boys are absolutely champing at the bit to play. As Matty said, there's no egos. There's no egos with our side. There's not allowed to be an ego, because if somebody does start to get a little bit ahead of himself, I can guarantee there's 4 or 5 blokes there ready to prick that in a big hurry. Yeah. We just play. We've played the same way all year. We go out about our business. Everybody understands that what it's about is executing at a particular time. We have immense respect for Heathmont because of the lineup they have and what they've achieved. But we have no fear.
So you're working on, but you know, Matty said, you know, you basically only need the two chuckers to call upon. Occasionally you might go to a part time or something, depending on the situation of the game. You've got three.
We're only planning to use two.
Yeah, but you do have three.
We have potentially got three. Although Jordan Bush, who did a fair bit of our closing for us in the early part of the season, he's been pressed into catching with Jack Daniels now. Being missing at college. So Jordan, and I tell you, last week, his first game he's caught all year, and no disrespect to Jack Daniel, who had a great year for us. It was a seamless change. We had a couple of, you know, positional swaps. Jordan Lay went to second base to cover that. Ken O'Malley went across to third base. It was like we've been playing that way all year.
Is that going to hurt the pitching stats? No. Because I think Geordie is a junior, isn't he?
No.
No?
No, he's not a junior. He's out of juniors now.
Oh, out of juniors.
So if pressed, if we have to get an inning out of him at the end of the game to win it, we'll take him from behind the dish and pitch him for an inning at the end.
I just want to judge, because I remember him being in the under 17.
Yeah, that's a couple of years ago. Yeah. No, he's not a junior anymore, so that doesn't affect. He can catch and pitch in the same game. I mean, it's a big ask of any player to do it, but if we need to pitch him for an inning, we will. But look, we think if Bryce Taylor pitches up to the form that he's shown all season, and Mitch Lay has just got better and better and better with the work that he's had, we figure that we should only need those two. I mean, it doesn't guarantee you a win, of course, but if they pitch as well as they have Bryce's situation throughout the whole year, and Mitch the way he's thrown the last 3 or 4 weeks, we'll be in this game up to our eyeballs.
All right, Phil, the other game is Research
North Baldwin, yeah.
Two, and they played each other in the last round.
They did last week. And interesting had a win here 3-2. That North Baldwin, who finished fourth, have also knocked off Research twice this year. Yeah. So you've got the unusual situation where
the lower place side has won twice. Yeah.
And in the first time they met, it was a 7-1 victory to North Bourne, and then last week it was a 3-2. I believe that it was a 2-run bomb in the last innings that secured the game. You've got two contrasting teams. You've got the power of Research with good solid pitching, and then you've got North Bourne, who have got four very, very, very good pitchers, good defence, but the battle for them is going to be offence. You know, you look at their...
They're nibblers, aren't they?
Well, they scored 84 runs, but they scored 30 of them in two games against Doncaster. So if you take that out, I mean, that's 54 runs in 16 games, which is not...
That's about an average of 4 runs a game.
It's less than that. It's less than 3.5.
3.5,
now,
yeah.
The problem for them, I think, is going to be scoring enough runs. However, their pitchers have managed to do the job against Research. I'm going to go for Research, just because I don't think that North Baldwin can beat them three times.
And they've been in great form the last 6 weeks or so.
Apart from last week, I think Research
are going to be very tough.
Yeah, I think Research, because North Baldwin, I don't think, can beat them 3 times.
Right, we're going to have a quick break, and after that we're going to talk to David Rice, the man that Matty Goulet mentioned, the admin man from the winter. We'll be back in a moment, the ball game.
I'm Jack, and my dad's Pete from the Mornington and Rosebud Telstra stores, this year's winners of the Telstra Licensee of the Year Award. My dad has been really busy lately, but he and the team have been recognised for their customer service excellence, and you really need to get in store and experience it for yourself. So drop in and see the Telstra Licensee of the Year team at the Telstra store in Mornington or Rosebud.
Or call us on 1300-MY-TELSTRA.
And in the meantime, I'm off to play cricket with Dad.
Hey Jack, bowl it to me!
A station sponsor.
The Heritage Tavern is a 1930s house set on 2 acres of beautiful gardens and serving tasty meals and drinks from Mornington Peninsula produce. The Heritage Tavern, 3059 Frankston Flinders Road, Balnarring. Phone 0359 832597.
Eview Real Estate Partners know that buying, selling or leasing a property is a major event in a person's life. If you understand and have a team of people who are committed to making your real estate experience as stress-free as possible. Thinking of a career in real estate? Positions available now all over Melbourne. For more, call EVU on 8781 3888 or online at www.evu.com.au and expect extraordinary. EVU, now you're at home. The station sponsor.
And we've just had a 7-inning stretch, and now it's time to wrap it up. And David Rice, welcome to the ball game.
Thank you very much.
And so your role, just clarify, we spoke to Matty Goulet a few minutes ago, and he did mention you as being the Winter League Administrator.
That's my role. I do all the fixturing and keep track of everybody and... look after it all, yeah.
For a moment there, you're going to say keep everybody happy, but we know that never works.
That's
yeah.
That is just not possible.
not ever, David. Obviously, this year there was, again, a high number of teams playing in the league. How challenging has that been from an administrative perspective for you?
I was just reflecting on that today when Phil rang me earlier. When I took this job on in 2003, we had 73 senior teams and I think it was 42 junior teams, and we're now up to 113 senior teams this year and up to 64 junior teams. So there's been an increase in volume of players and teams over the journey of the last 15 years, yeah.
Which is all very positive, I reckon. That's a good, strong sign, I think.
Oh, yes, it is. The thing that's interesting, of course, is two things. One is in that whole time, there's only two grounds been added to the league in that whole time. One was Monash Uni that moved from the Dandenong Association to the Melbourne Winter Baseball League, and this year Werribee moved over from the Geelong League to the Melbourne Winter Baseball League. So in that whole time, we've only had those two grounds come online for the Melbourne Winter Baseball League, yet we've been, you know, we've increased the number of teams by a good third. So.
Which makes fixturing very difficult.
That would be an understatement. an understatement. No, well, what's happened is that a lot of clubs now have to coexist at grounds you know, with other clubs. I mean, for instance, you know, there's with my own club that I belong to, Knox Baseball Club, we share one of the grounds with the Heathmont Fifths team. We've got Watsonia's Fifths and Sixths, you know, sharing the ground with Bundoora nowadays. So all those sorts of things are starting to come into play.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from, Dave. I remember the couple of years I did it for the DBA, and you get some clubs like Dingley and Dandenong, they've got eight sides and only two grounds. You know, sort of eight and a two doesn't quite work every day until you got a Sunday.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. So, yes, it has caused some fixturing issues. And, of course, as some people might be aware, this year the Melbourne Winter Baseball League had a problem at the start of the year in that we had 14 clubs nominate for B grade.
Yeah, I did notice that, yeah.
And normally we have an 8 or a 10-team B grade competition with the standard 10-team A grade. Now, we had a dilemma of what to do, and we looked at a few options, and what we finished up doing was just having a 14-team comp, playing each other once, which is 13 games, and then dividing the top six off to become the standalone B grade, if you want to, the teams that can win promotion. And they play another five games to give it the standard 18. And it had its problems in that there were a lot of one-sided games, which some people were uncomfortable about, but at least at the end of this year, what we've now got is a pecking order, if you want to, on how to divide the A's and the B's up into B and C. So,
do you think? Sorry, Neil. Do you think some of those clubs that perhaps had, and I don't mean this too disrespectfully, delusions of grandeur about where they sat? Do you think they've had a bit of a rude awakening, and they'll probably be quite happy to play in C grade?
Yes, they certainly got a rude awakening, but it was more about their seconds or their reserves, because one of the things that they were doing is that there's a number of teams that are only, the only clubs that have only got two teams. So when people are away, they've got none of their bottom teams to be able to draw on players, and, you know, that caused a few problems. But, you know, nobody enjoys winning 20-0 every other week. You know, that's not fun for the team that's winning by 20 runs, and it's not fun for the team that's losing by 20 runs. So we've obviously got to have a severe look at that.
When you got inundated with your B-grade applications, did you have any thought of sort of breaking it down east and west?
Well, north and south in our terms.
Yeah, north and south.
Whichever, yeah.
we did, but it became lopsided in that you were still going to have the Diamond Creeks and the Plenty Valleys and the North Coburg Rebels and that are on the weaker side of it, and you had on this side of it you had one or two weak ones, and all the other strong ones like Knox and Waverley and Footscray and you know things like that and Werribee, and and that was still lopsided. It still didn't work. So the issue we had that we found out was that these clubs wanted to have a B grade status, so for attraction of players and coaches, you know. You know, let's face it, not too many of us are that keen to go and coach and be paid to do a C-grade team.
Yeah.
So they want that status to go with it. But it was an interesting experiment, and now at least gives us a full pecking order.
So when you look at the finals on this weekend. You've got Waverley and Knox, who are the top two sides. That should be a pretty handy game.
I'm certainly hoping so.
You're hoping Knox will challenge Waverley, is what you mean by that, I guess.
Yeah, Waverley have stand out this year. They picked up a couple of Kyle Rogers and that shortstop.
Alex Talaya.
Alex Turley from the Tribune, and that's strengthened them up a bit.
I do notice, though, in the head-to-heads, David, the first time round, they fixed you up 10-0, but then in the return bout, you got 10-7, so that was a fairly significant improvement. So, obviously, you can be competitive against them.
Well, we've got our fingers crossed. I mean, Jared Turner threw, the first time we played him, Jared Turner came on and threw really well. He's a class act these days in the pitching, and I think our guys got a little bit spooked, but certainly last weekend... we gave a better count of ourselves, so we're always hopeful. You know, if you're playing the top team, you've always got to play at your best to have a shot at it.
Yeah, the other game's on is Westgarth playing Melbourne Uni.
That's got to be an interesting little tussle. They've had some pretty close games for the year, so Westgarth are on the improve this year. Melbourne Uni are always there and thereabouts. So I think they've contested the last six or eight B grade final series, not too sure who's going to win that one.
Yeah, well, they've each had a win, and the scoreline's been 7-6 in each of the games. So I don't think you can get a whole lot closer between the two sides.
Someone's going to make an error. Someone's going to get a hit.
One question I wanted to sort of pose to you, and we mentioned it to Matty in our discussion about the A grade games. Obviously, we've had a bucket load of rain recently, and the grounds are in average conditions.
Yes.
We do have the fallback in the rules that if you don't get on, the higher placed team will win.
No, that's not... we do, the rules in the Melbourne Winter Baseball League are if you can't play Saturday, you've got to try and get it done Sunday.
Correct, on the Sunday, but if you don't get on both days. Does the league have any other contingencies about potentially, particularly for the lower grade grand finals tomorrow weekend, Do you have any contingencies, maybe picking out some fields that are in reasonable condition and perhaps playing double headers there so the grand finals actually get to play?
Well, one rule that we do have is that if in Saturday week they get washed out, we have a week up our sleeve.
Okay, right.
But they've still got to try and get them played Sunday, but certainly we would start to look at using some of the drier grounds if you want to.
Yep.
The big issue that we have is that normally around finals time we can usually dig up somewhere around 30, 36 umpires. Last Saturday we had 20 only available.
Wow.
And on Sunday it went down to 15. So one of the things that we've looked at this week is obviously playing as many doubleheaders as we can and keeping our fingers crossed that it's a reasonably bright day and the clouds don't make it dark early. So
yeah, although I think with the lower grades where they're still only playing the 2 hour game, if you're starting at 12:30 the first game, that's just like a normal weekend. So I think you'd be okay with doubleheaders in the lower grades.
Oh well, it was light. I was noticing tonight. I was marking out some junior diamonds at Knox for the grand finals for the juniors tomorrow, and it was 5:30, and there was still plenty of light. So we're starting to kick on with light rather than it being knocked off at like 4:45 now. So that gives us a bit of extra time up our sleeve. So. Yeah.
I think we might have forgot to tell you, Dave. This is a Saturday morning show.
Don't worry, we have that problem every week. We're
absolutely.
Saying.
So it was nice to know you marked the grounds out last night.
Yeah.
Yes, I did mark the grounds out last night. Yeah.
Getting out well in advance, which is always good to see.
We've scheduled a double-headed game at La Trobe because obviously we've got the full lights there to use, so we can turn them on. Same at Doncaster. We're allowed to use Doncaster with supplementary lights and the same at Knox with supplementary lights. We can't play night games at Doncaster and Knox, but we're allowed to use up a supplementary light to, get a game finished. So we'll schedule them there, and then we've got a doubleheader at Northbourne in the E grades, and we've got a doubleheader at Essendon at the D&D Reserve. So hopefully we can get two umpires to all of them and keep our fingers crossed they get through with the light.
David, it's been great chatting with you. Our hour really flew, and we hope it all goes well, everybody, and all the weather's good and doesn't give you any headaches over the next couple of weeks.
Well, it's been an interesting year for weather. It's been very dry, very cold, and very windy, but the last 2 weeks has brought us back to reality.
Absolutely. Good on you, David. Thanks, mate.
Good luck for Knox tomorrow, mate, too.
Thanks, Aaron. You too.
Good luck.
For Knox still. Bye.
Thank you.
All right, boys, about a minute to go. So any final little observations?
No, no, one thing I've got to say. One of my little favourite players, Louis Thorpe, who we've spoken to about many times,
got promoted
to AA Chattanooga. Oh,
fantastic.
And had his first outing, had a win, pitched six innings, gave up four runs on five hits, and struck out seven in the process. So
good start.
First up for Louis at AA.
And good Jack, work. Off air, we were talking about the pitcher from the Dodgers who had
Rich Hill
had an amazing game and got a loss out of it all.
Not sure what more he could have done.
No.
10 innings and no hit ball and perfect game lost due to an error. And I'm sure he was cracking the sads, but then to lose it a home run.
Shoot the third baseman, blame the manager for not getting the relief in.
Through 10 innings, I think, and he's still under the 100 pitch mark, so there's something to learn out of that for young arms.
Absolutely. So, look, we hope everybody has a fantastic baseball weekend. We'll be back next week again with the.
Good luck to all the kids tomorrow morning, later this morning.
Yeah. And also
good luck to all the teams that are playing in the finals.
Absolutely. And also
to the parents of junior players, just remember, it might be a grand final, but it is still supposed to be fun.
And they want to get out there and enjoy themselves.
Just chill out and enjoy it.
Absolutely. At the ball game. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again next week.
Another chance for Mitchell, and he makes a fair-handed catch. In my entire life, I've never seen that happen.
Fernandez, left field, it's deep, it is!